Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yep.
Shock Therapy
Live.
Good times.
I am Steve-O.
And I am...
Snuffleupagus.
Albert.
Ah, yes. The ever-fluffy, wonderful Albert.
Zzz.
Pastor Nate Heitzig joining me. It is Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, we're doing Shock Therapy Live two times this week.
We are. That's right. Tomorrow night, we are going to be doing Shock Therapy Live.
Yes.
Live.
It's going to be fun.
Live.
Good times.
Live. So tomorrow night at the Lobo Theater for Renovate, a ministry that you are the head of, week in and week out, every single Thursday at the Lobo Theater, a time to hang out, some fellowship, rock some coffee, listen to the Word of God.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to do a live Q&A. Come join us.
Yeah. So come hang out with us. It's going to be, man, it's going to be great. I'm excited. How can people ask questions? Can they email them in ahead of time, or is it going to be all live? Like,
so
they get a mic and they have to stand up?
Well, we're going to have a mic, but we're also going to have a text message service set up so you
Perfect.
Can text your questions in,
okay,
and then we'll put them on the screen,
yeah,
and we'll answer them that way.
And we'll put your phone number on the screen, too, so that everybody can go.
Everyone can know who you are.
Yeah, no.
And call you. Hey, are you the pervert who asked about sex?
Stop it. Yeah, so that's coming up tomorrow night, Shock Therapy Live. And so if you'd like to see us squirm on stage with some crazy questions, that's going down tomorrow at the Lobo Theater.
It's going to be fun.
I'm really looking forward to
it. Yeah, I never know what to expect with live Q&As.
Yeah.
It can always get a little interesting.
Yeah, they can. So we're going to have like seven books around us, like my iPad to the left, my study Bible over here. We're going
I'm just going to cruise up there with my iPhone.
There you go. All right.
Just
there we go. Hold on
just
1 second.
I guess, like, because I was thinking through that, I was like, okay, you know, how are we going to do this? And I've done live Q&As before, and I was like, man, we do a pretty good job of answering the questions without a bunch of books or anything in the studio. So why try to do it different live?
True
I don't know.
Story. Live.
Live.
3D. Live in front
3D.
Of you. Yeah, we'll give you the 3D glasses and everything. You can just stare at us in full 3D.
Yes.
Glory. It's going down tomorrow night at the Lobo Theater, Shock Therapy Live. But right now, Shock Therapy Live, we actually had some not live questions from last Sunday, in fact, because we re-air this. If you miss any part of Shock Therapy, you can join us for the re-airing of it Sunday night during Static U at 7 p.m. And we get a lot of email questions, so a bunch from last week, actually, that we will we'll try and get through as quickly as possible so we can get to your questions. If you'd like to ask a question, the best way, honestly, call us. Phone line is open for you right now. 338-3700 is the phone number. You can call in, ask a question. And if you'd like to be kept anonymous, just tell our call screener that, and or don't give your name.
Yes.
You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or Facebook us. But yeah, there you go. What do we got? I know we got a lot of email questions to get to.
Take our first one. It says, I'm not going to read the first part.
Okay.
I've been walking with the Lord for about 2 years and have a question about relationships.
Okay.
I know the Bible says to be equally yoked, but does that mean I cannot date a girl whose faith isn't where mine is? Are we supposed to not date girls whose faith isn't as strong?
Wow. It's a good question.
Yeah. You know.
Isn't as strong. I would wonder what that means. I wish we could have him on the phone and ask more, like, okay, is there a girl in particular that you're talking about? What do you mean by faith isn't as strong? If somebody is claiming to be a Christian and it's like, I have sex all the time and I'm getting crazy and da-da-da-da-da, that wouldn't be a faith isn't as strong. That would be, are they really a believer?
Yes. Yeah. But if you're talking about a girl who maybe doesn't know as much theology as you or isn't as sharp in her Bible memorization, you know, I think there's room to grow within that person, and I do think there is truth to people who are too far separate spiritually in their walk with God. Because, you know, for instance, especially we talk about pastoral ministry. Someone who's called to pastoral ministry and someone who isn't. Someone who's just content with going to church, you know, once a week.
Yeah.
And so you have a difference there. And that, then there can be a pull. Or I've seen in relationships where one spouse really treasures that devotional time each day and wants to have the family together to have devotions. And the other person doesn't really care to read the Bible or doesn't really care to have family devotions. And there can be a pull and a strain there. So I think there is merit to making sure that you guys are both at a similar area spiritually,
right,
at a similar maturity level spiritually. But I think that if she doesn't know as much theology as you, that's not something to count her out and say, oh, well, she's not the one for me.
Right.
You know, when I first met Janae, she wasn't as strong spiritually as I was. She didn't know as much Bible verses. She didn't know as much theology. And I spent a long time just being her friend and seeing her maturity level grow and her walk with the Lord begin to mature. And so it was a process that I think that we both went through together. And it was a process that I really treasured. So, you know, it really is something you got to look at, like Siva said, more than just the question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just yesterday was having a conversation with a friend who's married, who, is really digging in, really growing in this time, who has gotten involved in a small group study on a weeknight, who's active in church on Sunday, who wants to bring his family along, and his wife is really hesitant, doesn't get it, doesn't understand, but when they were dating, it was like, well, I love Jesus too, cool, let's do this. And now as the growth in one person is going, it seems like it's shrinking almost in the other, in the spouse, because they see it. It's like, well, that's just too involved for me. I don't understand. Like twice a week. Ugh. And you want to read the Bible to our family every day? Ugh. It's so much time. And it's hard for me to understand as a grown up. Why are you going to try and subject that to our kids? And it's caused a lot of strain to a point where we were talking on the phone last night and we just had to pray and encourage him and like moving forward and continue to do the things that he's doing. God bless you.
Thank you.
With his family, and either A, she'll jump on board, or man, I don't even know what the alternative is, but it was one of those don't grow weary in doing what you're doing because you're growing. And I could see fruit. I could see growth in this person and it was amazing. But because they weren't at the same place spiritually, it caused a lot of strain in the marriage. So that's definitely, it's not something where God says, hey, you can't do this because I'm a jerk and I'm trying to hinder you. It is for your protection. It is for, I'll tell you what, if I couldn't even fathom being in a place like that. My wife challenges me. My wife, spiritually speaking, some of my greatest moments of growth have been from my wife challenging me as the head of the household, as the leader. Hey, this, let's talk about this. What are we doing here? How are we? And to have that partner is so key, relationally speaking, that you got to be careful. And as you said, you can't count them out if they're not necessarily at the same place theologically speaking, but there's something to not being unequally yoked. I've seen so many marriages fall apart because of that.
Because you know, that verse really does speak to more than just a Christian and non-Christian. It really does speak to this concept of basically one person moving faster than the other, one person pulling in opposite direction as the other. And so it is something to be aware of and something to, you know, protect yourself with. But you know, that's a good point. Let's say a couple gets married, and when they first get married, they're both at the same level spiritually. They're both, you know, they go to church, they say they're Christians, but there's really not much there. And then through the course of the marriage, one of them really becomes on fire. Now, they didn't get married at unequally yoked. They were married really at the same place, but one begins to become more on fire for the Lord. How should that person then lead, or how should that person encourage the other spouse within the marriage to continue on and to go to deeper levels?
And I think the word you used is perfect, because this is what I said yesterday to my friend. Encourage and continue to do what you are doing, because one of the pitfalls, one of the traps is you're growing, your partner's not growing with you, and you can become discouraged, you can become bitter toward your spouse. Oh man, well, Lord, I'm trying to grow, but this woman you gave me sucks, and she's not where I'm at, and so I guess I just got to move on. That's not being a leader. You're leaving someone behind. Mm. And so to continue to encourage, to continue to move, to put your arm around your spouse and maybe help them along, maybe it is you leading them in a Bible study. Maybe it is you leading them in the Word daily. Maybe whatever it is, prayer together, which is so important. Open, honest conversations, but to never, ever, ever grow weary in that, to never, ever become bitter towards your spouse, because when that bitterness takes root, it can divide, it splits you in half. It really does. And so I think it's so vital to be encouraging and to not grow weary in that time, because it's easy. I've seen that in entrapment too, to just kind of push them off to the side and say, well, they're not where I'm at spiritually, which if you're acting like that, how spiritually mature are you really?
Yeah. You know, I think that a big part of it too is praying up and really trusting God in the situation. You know, I've seen a lot of couples that will say, man, I don't want to push my spouse away, so maybe I should just not go to church as much, or maybe I should just pull it back a little bit. I think the opposite's true. I think that you go all out. You show your spouse that you love Jesus entirely. As the man especially, you lead your family. You insist on going to church. You insist on having family devotions in a situation like that. And you don't worry about if you're going to push that person away, because you trust God, and you trust that God's going to speak to them, and that God is going to draw them near. And if we don't, we're really showing a lack of trust in God. We're saying, man, well, God's not big enough, you know, to deal with my wife, and so I've got to, you know, tone it down, or I've got to do something to help the situation. So I think you do what God has called you to do, and you pursue Him passionately, as we're all called to do, and you leave the rest to God. You don't try to be the Holy Spirit in your spouse's life.
Right.
You let God do that. He's a lot better at it than we are. So.
Amen. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O, joined by Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you have a question, send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Maybe our conversation has sparked a question or a comment in you. You can also give us a call, 505-338-3700. Got a ton of email questions to get to.
Yeah, a lot of them. These three aren't really questions. They're more comments. But we've got a question up here. It says, what is your take on Christians, especially younger ones, meeting, dating, getting engaged, and marrying all within a 6 to 12 month time span? Is 6 to 12 months enough time to make a lifelong commitment? I wasn't sure, especially since the Bible defines love as is being patient. Thanks.
I want to know how old this person is asking the question.
Yeah.
I really do, because you say especially younger ones. I remember there was a time period where it seemed like a lot of like late teens / very early 20s were just like meeting, and because they couldn't wait, getting married within a couple months.
Yeah.
But I've also seen other times where people meet. They've been praying, they've been patiently waiting, they meet this person, and they know that they know that they know that this person is the one. So I can't say, well, no, the courting period must be a minimum of, you know. I know that there are certain places where, all right, you're engaged, cool. Now you got to go through premarital counseling if you want to be married at this church. And it's, X amount of month time period, and you do have to wait it out for a certain amount of time. And that's cool. But I can't say that there's a general, do you have like a general?
Well, I don't have a general time frame of this is the appropriate time, but I do agree with the statement, love is patient.
Yeah.
And I hear people say all the time, well, I just can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. And I always question if that love is really from the Lord, because that is not something that a godly love says, I can't wait. A godly love says, I will wait. I will wait as long as I have to, because I believe that you're the person God has put in my life.
Yeah.
And love is patient. Love is kind. And so if you ever are at a place with a girl or a boy where you just say, I can't wait, that's not love. That's hormones.
Right.
And you've got to distinguish between the two of those.
Amen.
And so I think there is huge merit to saying, take some time. Yeah. Really learn each other. You're going to spend the rest of your life with one another.
Right.
And at some point in your marriage, you're going to say, man, I wish I would have waited.
Yeah.
You know? I think that there is a lot of merit to that, no matter how much you think this person is from the Lord. Guess what? If they really are God's match for you, then nothing you do can separate you two.
Mm-hmm.
No amount of time that you wait can separate the two of you, if that really is the person God has planned for you.
Right.
You think your will is stronger than God's will? No. If God is willing for you to be with one another, even if you took two years and you didn't see each other, God would bring you back if that is really God's person that He has for your life. So, I think that there is there's a lot of wisdom in waiting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom in taking time through the dating, the engagement process. So.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side of that, I would also say, let's say that you're one of those people we're talking about who, in your early 20s, I can't wait, and you did say, I do, you are now married. It is not ever, ever okay to go back and go, man, if I had just waited a few more months, if I had learned this about that person, oh, man, I got to get out of here. That's not okay. No, till death do you part, for better or worse, and I think a lot of times people can try and use that as an excuse. Man, I just didn't know this person well enough. If I had just waited a little longer, if I had just learned this about them, if I had just known this, if I had been more patient, oh, because I just met this other person and that person seems like, man, I want to smack you because you cannot do that.
Totally. I think two wrongs don't make a right.
Absolutely. And I think that right now, thanks to shows like The Bachelor and all these stupid like dating shows, you line up 12 people of the opposite sex and you got to pick the right one. Well, I like the way this one kisses, but I also like the way it's ridiculous. Yeah. And because of that, you start, you know, becoming, well, I kind of like this. And it's like this smorgasbord.
Yeah, buffet.
Yeah,
buffet.
Of, okay, well, I like it. I want to pick and choose.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Dina. Na, a little bit of.
Once you're married, that's it, bro. You're done forever. Yeah. You can't use the, well, we only dated 6 to 12 months and, you know, I didn't really get to know the person. I wasn't thinking. I was only 22, you know, when I got married, you know, and unfortunately you hear that so often that these younger people who didn't wait, you know, now in year 3 of their marriage, year 5 of their marriage are going, yeah, but you don't understand. This guy's really angry. You know, you don't understand. She's not really into sex.
But you don't understand. Really, you're really married. So
right,
get over it.
Right. Exactly. Go seek some counseling. Go talk to somebody. But, it's never an option.
I would say on the same note, I think that it is possible in the same way that it's possible to marry too soon. I think it's also possible to wait too long.
Mm.
Especially with an engagement. I am a fan of short engagements. I think that once you've said, look, I want to get married to you. You know, I think there's merit to be said that, look, when you say, I want to get married to you and you make that commitment, man, do it as quick as you can. I think that there's a lot of merit to that. Within the whole dating process, I think it's good to take your time, you know.
Yeah.
And even within that, though, I think it's possible to take too long. You know, if you've dated someone for like 6 years and you're just like scared of commitment, you have to come to a point where you've either got to, you know, fish or cut bait, dude. It's like,
right.
Am I going to lead this girl on and continue to say, well, maybe someday. No. You decide, are you going to marry this person or not? And make a decision, but don't wait for, you know, so, you know, I think it's possible to wait too long in the same vein.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's finding that median, that in between.
Yeah. Prayer. You take it to God. You take it to God.
I'm sure you can find 10 different books with 10 different times on when you should get married.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I think each person is different. You take it to God. But great question. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. It's about 9:20, which means we're up against our first break. But if you would like to get a question in, give us a call. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We have a line open for you. You can also anonymously ask a question through emailing us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Steve-O and Nate hanging out with you for Shock Therapy Live. Right back in just a moment. Static Radio's turning 2 years old.
And we're throwing a birthday party.
A shindig.
A fiesta.
We're going to have piñatas and a mariachi band.
If by mariachi you mean House of Heroes.
What if I told you we were so far away?
Friday, June 14th at the Lobo Theater.
With House of Heroes and special guest Come Win.
Get your invitation now at mystaticradio.com.
Tickets are only $15.
Or 2 for $30.
Or you can get that family four-pack for $60.
Great math. It's Static Radio's second birthday party featuring Come Wind and House of Heroes.
Invitations and details at mystaticradio.com.
This is The Wire.
Coming up on Thursday, June 13th, join everybody at Calvary Chapel, Silver City, as they welcome the band Two or More. You'll love the Latin rock sound of the Ecuadorian-American band with elements of blues, soul, and pop. If you've experienced Two or More in concert before, you know you're in for a treat. Don't miss them at Calvary Chapel, Silver City, Thursday, June 13th at 6:30 p.m.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at MyAestheticRadio.com. This is The Wire.
Challenge Man. It's a guy thing. The Rally, June 21st, with Josh and Sean McDowell.
When we get to speak together, we just sometimes look at each other and just chuckle and go, wow, this is a window God has given us. It might last another week. It might last another decade. And we just have an absolute blast. Just have an absolute blast.
Don't miss Sean and Josh McDowell. Classic cars, food, music, and more. The Challenge Men's Rally, Friday night, June 21st, Calvary, Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna. And of course, it's free for all.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back, Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
Kenny Riley. Bye, buddy. Love you. Dude, his kid just graduated high school.
Dude, insane.
Tommy's a beast. I love that kid.
Insane in the membrane.
Yeah. It is 9:23 now. If you would like to get a question in,
call
you can
us.
Do so.
Stop being so shy.
Yeah, 505-338-3700. If you're listening on Sunday night, it is now 7:23 in the p.m. Welcome. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday night.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget tomorrow, unless you're listening on Sunday, tomorrow we're going to be hanging out at the Lobo Theater for Shock Therapy Live. So maybe that's why people are waiting to call, because they're going to actually show up tomorrow night.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this on Sunday, jump in your DeLorean, come back to Thursday, and come to Shock Therapy Live in 3D.
But you got to kick that bad boy up past 88 miles per hour, so you're going to need to find like a nice little stretch maybe out in like the Mesa or somewhere, because you don't want to like, you know, freak anybody else out. The tires catch fire. It's crazy.
Dude.
So jump in that DeLorean. Go back to Thursday. It's going to be fantastic. May 30th at the Lobo Theater. Some Shock Therapy Live. And who knows, if it's successful, we just may have to do this more often than not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm just going to take over Renovate.
Hey.
Every other Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. Steve-O and Pastor Nate hanging out with you. Get your questions in now. Studio at mystaticradio.com if you have an anonymous question, like the one we just got through email.
Where'd it go? There we go.
All right.
Relationship question. I've never had a significant other in my life, and I want to know how to start a relationship with God being a significant part of it. There's someone in mind for me. The feeling is probably mutual, but there are complications involved. Moving hours away to a separate college in a few months. How can I approach this in a way to start and maintain a strong biblical relationship with them, with all the temptations that surround college life in separate cities? The end.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I think that I've always been a fan of honesty within relationships.
Yep.
And I've also never been a fan of dating for the sake of dating. I think dating has a purpose, and that purpose is to pursue marriage. So this is – now, by the way, this is just personal for me, so I can't say this is what you should do.
This is what first Job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that dating again, people say, well, I don't want to get married to the person. Well, then why are you dating the person? Because dating leads to marriage.
Right.
So I
or
think,
sex.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you should make sure why you're dating that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's really important to start off a relationship on the right foot and be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I think should happen in that situation is you talk to the person. You sit down and say, hey, I want to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of cloak and dagger, like subtle flirting, like, hey, do you think they like me? Will you ask them if they like me? Because I really want to ask them out. I think sit down with them and say, hey, I want to let you know I really treasure your friendship, and I've developed feelings for you, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but if so, I'd really love for us to maybe pray about starting a relationship with the pursuit of marriage in mind.
Yeah.
And start it off on the right foot, and then from there, hear what they say, and then if they say yes, then call up her dad. I'm assuming you're a guy.
Right.
But call up her dad and say, hey, so and so, I really treasure your daughter's friendship. My name's whatever. And I really want to ask for your permission to date your daughter with the pursuit of marriage, esteeming her higher than myself. treasuring her purity, treasuring her honor, and really started off on the right foot. And if you do so, you're going to see that your relationship is going to start off in a really godly fashion, and you can maintain it from there. It's not to say that temptation won't be there,
right,
but it means that it's easier to maintain it at a godly level if you start it off at a godly level.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you on this. It's just one of those... Man, here's the thing. You can look back in, you know, say 4 months, you're in college, and one of two things are going to happen. Either A, you took her to coffee, and you guys had this fantastic conversation, and you've done everything that we just talked about. B, you took her to coffee, and maybe it wasn't as mutual as you thought, and so at least you know. Or C, you do nothing about it, and you're sitting at college going, dang it, dude. Why didn't I step up? I should have said something. And you're going to have to deal with that regret for a very long time. So I agree. Why not take her to coffee? Say, hey, I'd really love to hang out with you. I'd really love to talk to you about something and discuss it.
Yeah.
Open, honest. And that's a fantastic way to start a possible relationship.
I mean, the worst that's going to happen is she's going to say, I hate you, and your heart's going to be broken. So. But you can get over that.
I highly doubt she's going to say, I hate you. However, you know, exactly. Either she's totally going to say, right on, feelings are mutual, I just didn't know how to say it. Or, oh man, that's really sweet. I don't really think of you like that, but I'd love to maintain a friendship because you're honest and that's great and I can respect that. Or C, as I said, you're just going to live with regret and be like, I should have told her how I feel.
Yeah. And then you'll, like, 3 years down the road, you'll be with someone else and say, well, man, that girl who I never talked to, she was the one. And you don't know if she was the one.
Right.
So.
Yeah, just, dude, get up off the couch, call her right now, say, hey, you, me, Sopo, let's make this happen.
Hey, you and me, baby. Wait, no, that's the wrong song.
Oh, I'm like, what song is that? I don't know.
The wrong one.
I only listen to Jesus music.
I only listen to death metal.
Oh, cool, sweet. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, and we've been talking about this. Coming up tomorrow night, I'm pretty excited. We're going to be doing Shock Therapy Live. Let's talk about this for a minute. Nate, you are the lead pastor in charge of Renovate. Talk a little bit about what Renovate is, what goes on Thursday nights.
Renovate is really a college and young adult ministry. We say between the age of 18 to 28-ish, and we meet at the Lobo Theater every Thursday night at 7:30, and we have awesome worship. Just a really, you know, we get a lot of people that come, and they say they've never been to a church that's in that kind of environment. We're in the oldest standing movie theater on Route 66. We've got an awesome sound system, cool lights, great worship band, and it's just a fun vibe. Our goal is that someone who has never been to church, who has never wanted to go to church, would come in to Renovate and say, man, I could come here.
Right.
You know, that it's an appealing place to be. And so, we have great worship, and then we have an awesome Bible study. We don't shy away from teaching the Word of God. We have an hour long Bible study. We just finished a series called Second Chances as we looked at the second chances that God's given people in the Bible. And then what we're going to start is on June 13th. We're starting a new series through the entire book of Matthew, a verse-by-verse Bible study called Checkmate. And so we're really excited about that, excited to kick off a book and start going verse-by-verse through that. So it's just a great time. You know, I think that young people in general, young adults, are sick of non-reality. They're sick of fakeness. And so I had this person ask a question, why do you think so many people are walking away from the church? And I think they're walking away from the church because they're sick of fake people.
Right.
And I think that the church is unfortunately very full of people like that. So we at Renovate really strive to show that, you know, Christianity isn't about putting on a facade. Christianity isn't about, you know, holding your Bibles up in the air and you know, shouting at people. Christianity is about loving people, and Jesus, the message of the gospel is that Jesus loved the world so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for them. And that's the message of the gospel, and that's the message we want people to know. And so, you know, we preach the truth, we don't back down, but at the same time, we love people. Anyone's welcome at Renovate. We've never turned anyone away from Renovate. And it's a really fun crowd. We've got actually, Renovate's comprised primarily of people that don't go to Calvary. We've got a big group of people that come from other churches, Sagebrush, Copper Point, We've got people that come from Hoffmantown, from the Catholic Church. We've got people that come from so many different churches, and it's really cool to see everyone kind of come together and worship Jesus together.
Yeah.
And it's a really great time.
I love it. Thursday nights, you can check out details, renovateabq.org. And as I said, we will be there tomorrow night for a Shock Therapy Live. And taking questions that way as well. Maybe you have a deeply personal question and you don't want to have to do it face-to-face. Check it out, bro. Give us a call right now. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You can also shoot it to us anonymously through email, studio@mystaticradio.com. I'm stoked on what's going on.
Dude, it's
going
to be fun.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see my funny post that I put on your Instagram the other day?
I don't know.
So you put it on Instagram about Empire Strikes.
Return of the Jedi.
I wanted to make sure you knew that I was joking on my comment.
I know.
What was my, do you remember what my comment was?
Yeah, it was about Jar Jar Binks and how.
Yeah. Because you're like, Return of the Jedi is the best one. I was like, I don't know about that. Episode one was pretty good.
I was waiting for like somebody to come out of the woodwork and either bash you for saying episode one was fantastic or to tell me that Empire Strikes Back was the best Star Wars. But
see,
no one did that.
You didn't comment and say like, ha 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 ha. So I was like, man, I hope he doesn't think that I was being serious. Like, I was really concerned about it. Like, I was concerned, like, the same way that you'd be concerned that you accidentally like said something really bad and someone was offended. Like, I was concerned. I was like, man, I really hope he doesn't think I was serious. Like, that completely discredits me as a true Star Wars fan. He really thinks it was serious. I was like, my spirit was kind of grieved about it. I was like, man, I shouldn't have sent that. Why did I send that? Like,
that
people
is hilarious.
Are gonna think bad of me. Like,
that's amazing. You know what? But words, we were talking about this yesterday. Mitch and myself were having a conversation off air about our words. And, you know, we're kind of crazy on the morning show. We say some things on Shock Therapy Live that can shock, that can offend.
Yeah, a lot of
things.
And
we're talking about our words. And I was talking about how I don't ever want my words to petrify me to a state where I'm afraid to say something.
Yeah.
And I think that's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live, because sometimes – in church, there are some topics that are kind of taboo, or I don't want to bring this up. I don't want somebody, what if I ask a question about cutting? Is somebody going to judge me? Are they just going to look down on me?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been the fear at church for a long time.
Mm.
I'm struggling with this sin. I'm dealing with this issue. I don't know what to say here. Maybe you didn't grow up in church and you're just flat confused, or you don't know what the Bible has to say about something. Because let's be honest, on Sunday, you can hear this from the pulpit regularly. Well, you all know the story from John chapter 12.
Yeah.
And then they don't go into the story, and you're the person in the audience going,
wait, I don't know that story.
I actually don't know that story.
Yeah.
Should I just go?
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of want to be that safe haven, if you will, where there's no question off topic. There's nothing that's taboo. We're unshockable listeners. That's really the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. That's the purpose of Renovate, really.
Again, reality.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we serve a God who isn't shy of questions like that.
Right.
You know, if you've asked a question in the church that you've gotten ridiculed for, when you ask that question to God, he's not like, he doesn't blush. He doesn't look at you and say, I can't believe you asked that question. You know, there's a reality in that. And we believe that God has an answer for even the most personal questions within your life.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be something you're ashamed of. That's your story. We want to know your story. We want to know where you come from.
Yeah.
You know, you're important, and we believe that your story is important. We want to know that. So,
dude, for me growing up, it was sex. It was constantly one of those, well, the church doesn't really talk about it. It's icky. It's awful. I struggle with this horribly, but I can't really talk to anybody about it because, you know, then people are just going to. And I'll tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 was the verse that kind of flipped the script, flipped me upside down, that has become one of my life verses, that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that's not common to man, and God is faithful. And it continues to talk about that he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, and with that temptation, he will always provide a way of escape. But what threw me for a loop the first time was, there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. We all battle with things, and I think one of the biggest, scariest places to be is, I'm alone in this. No one else deals with this like I do. Yeah, but you don't understand my story. You don't understand my situation. But rather than tell your story, rather than talk about your situation, you kind of harbor it in there and say, yeah, nobody will get me. Nobody will understand me.
Yeah.
And you fall apart. You can become broken. You can become bitter. You can become disparaged. You can become downhearted. And all of those things will lead you away from God. And that's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. We want to just hang out with you. We want to get to know you. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. for the questions that we have, for everything going on with Shock Therapy Live. But again, if you have a question,
505-338-3700,
the phone number. We got to take one more break, but the phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. And you can also chime in through Facebook. You can chime in through email, which is studio@mystaticradio.com. Quick break, right back with more. It's Shock Therapy Live with Steve-O and Pastor Nate.
Do you feel like you could use a dose of gratitude to restore joy in your life? Then this month's resource from The Connection is for you. We've designed this package to restore thankfulness to worried and worn-out hearts. With the book Choosing Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss, you'll learn to choose to be grateful as you grab onto the grace of Jesus in your life. This book includes a 30-day plan for journaling, prayer, and other activities, which is why we are including a special Rejoice Journal with 240 lined pages. We've also included a copy of Zion, the newest worship CD from Hillsong United.
Your love, brighter than the sun.
If you or someone you know could use some extra joy and gratitude in their lives, then this is definitely for you. Order this special May resource today for only $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888 or online at skipheitzig.com.
Thanks, Transparent Productions, for supporting Static Radio. Transparent Productions, hosting concerts like Third Day.
Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on.
Third Day at Calvary Albuquerque, Thursday night, June 27th at 7 p.m. Tickets, transparentproductions.com and Parchments at Calvary. Thanks again to Transparent Productions for supporting Static Radio.
The School of Ministry is now accepting applications for the 2013-2014 school year. If you are interested, you have three opportunities to join us to hear more information about the school. You can join us on Tuesday, May 28th, Tuesday, June 18th, or Tuesday, July 15th for a School of Ministry Information Night at 6 p.m. in the Hub on the campus of Calvary of Albuquerque. Director of the School of Ministry, Dr. Nelson Walker, will be there to answer any questions. No reservations needed. For more information, please call 505-344-4418. Again, that number, 505-344-4418.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Steve-O, Pastor Nate.
Dude.
Hanging out with you.
That spot played. I am so excited for Hillsong United.
Are you?
Oh my goodness. They're like my favorite worship band.
What is happening today with like all of the incredibleness coming to Albuquerque? Here's what I'm stoked for. Not just that. I am stoked for that. Here's what I'm stoked for. Everything going on at the Lobo Theater right now.
Yes.
What is happening? I realize that one's not at the Lobo Theater. However, renovate every Thursday night. You're rocking the Lobo Theater. We've got the birthday party with House of Heroes. There's a lot of stuff we can't talk about, huh?
We can mention it.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I mean, things that are coming up that we haven't announced yet.
Yeah, we can mention those. Just to give you guys a little sneak peek
of some of the
Live at the Lobo shows that we've got coming. We've got Aaron Gillespie coming.
Yeah.
We've got the Digital Age coming. We've got Switchfoot coming. We've got City Harmonic coming. We have the Almost coming.
Yeah.
We have.
Dude, you're just going through the list. Rapid
who else?
Fire.
We've got Jars of Clay coming.
I had no idea the Digital Age was coming.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, man.
It's going to be fun.
The Rehearsals EP is one of my favorite EPs
Dude.
Right now. I'm like just digesting that worship like no other. That's probably my favorite like worship record.
Oh, we've got
right now.
Benjamin Dunn and the Animal Orchestra coming.
Stop it right now! Oh, man.
So we've got some good shows coming. We're doing a little summer series called Live at the Lobo.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna be a great summer, a summer full of concerts. And the big thing for that, at least a lot of the ones that we're bringing in personally, they're low cost concerts. So we want to provide fun concerts for the community at a really low cost. So we're talking, you know, between $5 to $15 tickets.
Yeah, and it's summertime.
Yeah, and it's a great way, you know. So for the price of a movie ticket, you can come to an awesome concert.
Less than these days? Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, Man of Steel 3D, whatever it was like, insane. So
did you already get tickets
for what?
Man of Steel?
No. That night, that Friday night, is our birthday bash. So House of Heroes, Come Wind, we're gonna rock the birthday bash. We may go on Saturday. I don't know. So, whatever. Find out details on
that. Does it come
that.
Out like Friday night at midnight or Thursday night
Thursday
at midnight?
Thursday night at midnight. There's no way, bro. We got to do a morning show the next morning. I can't do that. I can't do... Can you? Do you go to midnight movies
no.
still? Yeah, there's no way. I think the last midnight movie I went to, I realized the next day I couldn't do those anymore because I hated the movie.
Dude,
but it was just because I was tired.
I'm an adult now. I don't do fun stuff.
Right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number if you would like to get in on Shock Therapy Live. You can also email us studio@mystaticradio.com.
That's my daughter.
That's your daughter.
It's my daughter's birthday.
That's cool.
She's 1 year old.
Throwing a huge party for her, huh?
Yeah.
Woo! Huge party.
Actually, we really aren't.
Oh, man.
She's child number two. Child number one gets a big party. Child yeah. number two gets coal.
This is what happened with them. Jack and Luke, actually. We threw this monster birthday party for Jack for his first birthday. We had friends and family over, and they're little monsters. They destroyed the house. Jack didn't remember anything. I think he went into cake coma. Actually, I don't think he even got cake because he was only a year
yeah.
old.
Even with presents, like for Seth, like you're so excited with the first kiddo, and you're like, oh, man, it's their birthday, and we've got Seth so many presents, like – we spent way too much money on his first birthday.
And then he's played with the cardboard box.
Yeah. And we're like, oh.
So you learn.
Yeah.
So Cadence not getting a birthday party. Just love and affection
yeah,
from
Cadence Heitzig. Is getting lots of hugs.
There you go. That's cool. Those are just as important.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number, Shock Therapy Live. We got about 10 minutes left to show, and pretty much going to be Steve-O and Nate banter until you guys send us in something.
Yeah, it's a slow show.
For real.
So talk
well,
to us.
Well, it's the week after Memorial Day and, you know, people on vacation still
yeah,
coming back from vacation.
Summer's more important than Jesus.
Let's talk about something. This last Friday night, you guys had an event at the Lobo Theater, more than a one-night stand.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was great, man. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was...
You're wearing your Marcus G hat.
I am. It was the weekend services were killer. We had we played Manifesto and had Marcus G rap over Manifesto.
Stop
and
it was, right now.
Dude, it was so cool. It was really, really great.
Can we reenact it?
Yeah.
Let me get a city harmonic.
Let's see. What is it?
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. You be Marcus G.
All right.
No, you be Marcus
yeah.
G.
Yeah.
Is this really what happened?
Kind of. Is it going to go into the actual song?
Well, of course. It's a city harmonic.
Okay.
That's what he did? He did like fake guitar?
No, I'm the guitar right now.
Okay.
Da-na,
da-na, you sound like Beavis and Butthead.
Da-na, da-na, da-na.
This is what we resorted
yeah.
to. Are you kidding
no,
me?
No, it was really cool. So we had like the first verse and the chorus play, and then after the first chorus, it was like the
Marcus G.
Man,
yeah.
Amen.
And the heow.
And then he came out over the band playing. He's like, we believe in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
cool.
3-in-1. Gonna do it to the day that we're done. Gonna jump around. We're gonna have some fun. And you can
like
call
totally
it hip-hop,
know.
But I just call it worshiping. Because hip-hop can't point to me when only I am serving him. And some days I wake up. Yeah. Dude, I listened to it for 4 services in a row
okay,
and rehearsals.
Say, there you go. So you got it down pretty much.
Kind of got it down.
You've known Marcus for how many years now?
Since he was like a baby.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good dude. 505-338-3700, the phone number, Steve-O and Pastor Nate. We talked about something last week with pastoral ministry and spouses. And I know it was a comment, but we got an email talking a little bit about the pastoral ministries that we did. And when we brought it up.
Yeah, you want to read that
yeah.
comment? Hey guys, thanks for touching on the husband/wife ministry struggles today. I was given the youth pastor role at 20 and married the same year.
Man.
While trying to figure out the whole youth pastor role, I was also trying to learn how to be a good husband. I still am. Over the last 5 years, we've had to deal with random persecution from church members over various things, mostly, if not all, insignificant. But it had taken a toll on my wife, and I failed to protect her the way I should have many times. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I had learned how to deal with the extreme scrutiny and just expected her to understand and deal with it the same way I did. Being a little thick-headed as I am, it has taken me some time to figure out that I need to protect and defend her. Seems obvious, I know, but as fellow dudes, I'm sure you can understand that seemingly obvious things don't make sense to us all the time. Anyways, I say that all to thank you for the reminder and the encouragement. Bueno. Bye.
This brings up an interesting question. You're a pastor. You've been a pastor for some years now. You have a wife. You have 2 children. And I know it's almost divided, because some people would say your family is your first ministry. But as a pastor, where do you find that balance? And it's not even a pastoral role. It's just any role in ministry, whether you're serving in the youth ministry, or maybe you're serving in the kids ministry, maybe you're serving on the worship team. Where's the balance between ministry of family and ministry of the body?
Man.
That's a tough question.
Really is hard, because... You know, I think it's something you really grow into.
Okay.
Like I don't think through in my mind like any. I know when my wife and I first got married, that was a really hard balance to find. She wasn't used to the scrutiny of ministry. A lot of the same ways, you know, she wasn't used to the microscope. She wasn't used to, you know, everything that comes with ministry, all the baggage that comes with that. And so it really was a growing process. And I can't think through anything specifically that I did. To help her with that, other than be there when she had questions or be there when she was just wanted to vent and she was just mad.
Yeah.
And I talked to her and worked through that with her. But I think through it was really just a process of being a support for her.
Yeah.
And being there for her when she needed me to be there for her. And not trying to instruct her or teach her how to go through that or anything like that, but really just being there for her when she needed that. And it just took time.
Yeah.
You know, it really did just take a lot of time until she really grew into that role and felt comfortable with that role. But it is hard to find that balance. You know, we got to keep in mind that our number one ministry is our families, and that we need to make sure we're ministering to them before we minister to other people. You know, a lot of pastors spend so much time ministering to someone else, they never minister to their family, and their families are falling apart while their church is growing, and that's not biblical. And so I've really had to view my wife as my right hand, as my support, and understand that I'm never going to be successful in ministry unless she's helping me be successful in ministry. And that's what God's called her to be. She's called her to be my right hand and called her to support me. So one big thing that I always do is I make sure to have scheduled time with my family, and I don't let anything get in the way of that. Unfortunately, a lot of people at church think that they're most important and that they need to be ministered to no matter what's going on. And so if you try to tell them, oh, hey, I've got to go meet my wife, they don't care. They want to talk to you, and they think that they're important and that they need to be talked to. But if you tell them, hey, I'm so sorry, you know, I've got to go. I've got an appointment right now. I've got another appointment. They'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't realize I was taking up time. You know, go to your next appointment, because they think that's important. So I'll use that a lot of times. I'll say that I have an appointment. I don't tell them that appointment is with my wife and with my kids. But I'll use that as an avenue to let them know, look, I've got to go minister to my wife and kids. And you've got to make sure you're spending time investing into your family, because if you don't, you know, you're going to be at church, and then you're going to go home, and your home life's going to be miserable, and you're just going to want to be at church, and it's just going to be a vicious cycle. It's going to destroy you.
I thought biblically, whether trying to find whether James or where it talks about elders or leaders in the church, and one of the first things it talks about is, you know, the husband of one wife and having that house in order. Do you think because growing up yourself a PK, you have a better understanding, and because that's allowed you to have more, I don't know, not family involvement, but obviously, you know, your dad, I don't know if you knew this, but he's quite successful as a pastor, one of probably the biggest Bible teachers in the nation. So do you think because growing up in the Heitzig household, that kind of helped you as a pastor then have a better understanding of the balance of family and ministry?
Oh, totally. I mean, when you grow up in ministry, you're used to being, I think the biggest thing is being under the fire of ministry.
Right.
You know, I saw my dad get fired at a lot. By people in the church or people outside of the church. And so, I kind of learned evasive maneuvers, I guess you could say. You know, I learned how to run for cover. I learned how to, I think the biggest thing I've explained to my wife is I learned how to develop tough skin.
Yeah.
And if you're not used to doing that, then you can take it very personally when you get fired at. So I remember the first few times that my wife, and still today, that someone would say something bad or somebody would fire at my family, my wife would get very defensive. My wife will get very much, you know, mother bird, and she wants to fight back.
Right.
And I'm at a place where, you know, I really don't care what people say.
Yeah.
I really don't care what people think. And I don't want that to sound callous, but I believe that God's placed a call in my life, and that calling isn't from man, that calling is from God. So when people say something bad or say something mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings. They're just going to say, yeah, who cares? They can think what they want. My wife doesn't think that. My wife gets very defensive.
Right.
My wife wants to, like, put, you know, do Facebook threads and all the other stuff. And so, you know, I've just had to, I've had to learn and had to teach her. And I think the way I've done that has simply been through, not telling her that you shouldn't do that, but really just showing her that. And she will ask things like, man, how are you so forgiving? And I've been able to have good conversations with her about that. And I think that's been the most helpful thing. But that, the reason that's difficult is that's something you can really only learn over time and by
right.
experience. You can't teach someone how to develop tough skin. You can't teach someone, you know, how to have mercy or how to have grace. It's something you got to really learn.
One of those testings of your faith that produces that perseverance.
Yeah.
I remember the first few times I got quote unquote, you know, hate mail or something, you know, whatever you want to call it here at the station. And the person that actually spoke truest into me was your father. I remember
yeah.
having a one-on-one with your pops. And one of the best things he ever told me, because, man, I being under the scrutiny just here, I know is nothing compared to what your dad has to deal with on a daily basis. And so asking him, hey, man, when those, you know, when those people come at you, how do you do it? And he had the same kind of response. Well, I remember in the beginning where I would want to fire back and I would, but, one of the best things he ever told me was that he came to realize that God hits a lot harder than he does. So
yeah.
It's one of my favorite quotes, and it was just something he told me. I remember we were sitting in the prayer chapel in the prayer room, just me and him hanging out, having a conversation. That was it, that God hits a lot harder than I do. So I kind of had to learn to give up and let God fire back in whatever way he was going to hit back, whether through love or through,
yeah.
you know, anything. And, it reminds me of Romans chapter 12, something that I'm going through right now. Let love be genuine. If you're wondering how to do this, you know, we're talking about perseverance. If you're wondering, well, okay, that's great to just, you know, over time, but how can I? I highly recommend Romans chapter 12. It's one thing that I've been reading over and over as my pastor's been going through this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what to do. To do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with one another. Dude, I'm telling you, over and over, it's like every single one of those. Okay, I got to write that down. Okay,
yeah.
I got to write that down. It starts in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. But I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things is verse 16 where it says live in harmony with one another, because it's not talking about, when I think of harmony as musicians, you know, we may not be singing the same note, but we're at least rocking the same tune together. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it doesn't mean we have to be like unified in everything we say and do has to be exactly, okay, what that person does, that's the exact same thing I have to do. No, harmony is singing the same song, but you could be rocking a completely different note, but when you're singing that same song and you're in harmony, man, it's so beautiful to hear those different notes resounding together.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that for me personally, God has been showing me right now, because it's one of those seasons.
You know, and this is kind of one thing that I've had to realize is I don't do what I do for the critics.
Right.
I don't do what I do for the praise, for the people that give me compliments either. I do what I do for the Lord. And when you're doing it for God, you can really take anything that comes at you. So, you know, I don't do what I do for the critics. And so there's this mentality as well. Unfortunately, the critics are always going to be the loudest. And this is why I think it's very needed in the church today, the gift, the Holy Spirit gift of encouragement. It's so important. If you have that gift, use it. If you have the gift of encouragement, let the people that serve you know that you appreciate them. Let them know if you like what they're doing and if you appreciate how you see God moving in their lives. Because unfortunately, critics are loud.
Yeah, they are.
And they like to make a big stink and a
yeah.
big fuss. And they like to let everyone know when they're unhappy with something. And it's really unhealthy. But critics are loud. And unfortunately, encouragers are quiet very
right.
often. You know, people usually don't speak up if they like the way things are going. They speak up when they don't like the way things are going. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're at a church and you like what the church is doing, let them know, because that can mean the world to them. Because I guarantee you they're getting a lot of negative feedback no matter what they're doing throughout the week.
Yeah.
So let them know when you appreciate what God's doing through them.
Absolutely. I agree 150%. Hey, that is pretty much the end of Shock Therapy Live, but not the end of our week together. Shock Therapy Live, coming 3D. Up tomorrow night. And the best part is you don't have to pay $19 like at the movie theater.
Yeah.
It's actually a free experience.
It's actually 4D. I'm not going to wear deodorant so you can smell me. You'll be like, see us, touch us, smell me. It's going to be great.
So weird.
I'm not going to do that. They're like, oh, I was going to come, but not now. I'm not going to. I'll wear deodorant, I promise.
Please do, because I have to, like,
I'll
stand
wear,
or
I'll
sit
wear
next
a lot
to
of cologne
stage.
So you can smell me.
Oh, beautiful. That's even worse. I guess I would rather have, like, somebody rocking less deodorant than somebody, like, choking me out with cologne.
I don't know, dude.
Dude, come on. You know when you hug that person at church and you pull back, you're like, and you smell like them for
dude,
a week.
You've sat next to the big dude on the airplane that didn't put enough deodorant on, and you know that is unbearable.
Touché.
It's like, bro, come on. You've got to know you smell like that.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to have some realization that you don't smell good, that you smell funky.
True story. And this is just what a microcosm of what you can experience tomorrow at the Lobo Theater. I said microcosm. That's awesome.
Man, you use such big words.
I do, right? Indubitably.
It's the Holy Spirit.
I just said indubitably and I didn't stutter. It's amazing. Tomorrow night, Lobo Theater, details, renovateabq.org. We're out. We'll see you again next week.
Word to your mother.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, static radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.